Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As you just said, I'm going to speak on the physiological dynamics of plant-to-plant variability in maize and multiple plant densities, and how nitrogen rate affects this plant-to-plant variability, and also the formation and progression of plant hierarchies. To begin with, over the past 70 years, conventional breeding efforts have improved maize high plant density tolerance dramatically. Furthermore, the adoption of superior agronomic management practices and conventional breeding efforts have improved the nitrogen use efficiency of maize. Despite these improvements, high plant populations can cause adverse effects on grain yield. This is predominantly brought about through reduced per plant resource availability, whether it be mineral nitrogen, soil moisture, or solar radiation. Reduced per plant resource availability increases intraspecific competition, which results in greater plant-to-plant variability and barrenness and the formation of plant hierarchies, and this results in lower grain yields. Therefore, an understanding of per-plant variability and the establishment of plant hierarchies is imperative for increasing maize grain yields, and we want to understand how stand uniformity can be created and maintained during the growing season. One method to bring this about is through the application of nitrogen fertilizer. This will improve per-plant nitrogen availability, reducing intraspecific competition for nitrogen. This can result in decreased plant-to-plant variability and barrenness, and lessen and delay the onset of plant hierarchies. The objectives of this study are twofold. First, to discuss the effects of plant population and nitrogen rate on per-plant variability for multiple morphophysiological traits. And secondly, we want to explore the seasonal dynamics of maize plant hierarchies in response to resource availability. This experiment was conducted in 2005 and in 2006. It was done at Purdue University's Agronomy Center for Research and Education in West Lafayette, Indiana. The layout was a split-split plot design, and each plot was 6 rows in size. And within the 2 center rows of these 6 row plots, a per-plant sampling area was established. In rows 3 and 4, an area of 4 meters in length was established where these plants were measured continually throughout the growing season. And depending on plant density, a range of 30 to 75 plants per sampling area were measured. Fall strip tillage was performed and starter fertilizer was applied to all plots. With respect to treatments, hybrid was the whole unit. Pioneer 33N09 and Pioneer 31G68 were used in 2005. And Pioneer 31N28 and Pioneer 31G68 were used in 2006. The subunit was plant population, and the levels were 54,000 plants per hectare, 79,000 plants per hectare, and 104,000 plants per hectare. The subunit was nitrogen rate, and it was applied via side dressing, either not at all, at a rate of 170 kilograms of N per hectare at V3, and then as a split application of 340 kilograms of N per hectare at V3 and V5. Now, many per plant and canopy level measurements were taken throughout each growing season, and only a partial list of each is presented here. For the sake of this presentation, I want to focus on just a few of these. They are 6 internode stalk diameter at V15, R3, and R6, leaf chlorophyll content, or SPAD, at the V15, R1, R3, and R5 growth stages. The anthesis and silking date here will be presented as the anthesis silking interval. And that was the silking date was the number of days post-planting, the anthesis date was the same, and the difference between those two is termed the anthesis silking interval. I also want to look at per-plant grain yield and its components, total kernel number, and individual kernel weight. At the canopy level, I want to focus just on grain yield via machine harvest. Statistical analyses were done with SAS-PROC GLM and PROC mixed. Error terms were appropriately pooled and mean separation tests were completed. When necessary for variance stabilization, we did a log transformation, and for the sake of this presentation, all data was back transformed. Now, I want to point out that the years were analyzed separately and are presented separately for this presentation, and we averaged across hybrids within each year. Just to give you some background weather information, in 2005 and in 2006, we had slight differences in precipitation. You can see here in 2005, we generally had less rainfall throughout the growing season than here in 2006. And in 2005, maximum temperatures were greater during the grain filling period than in 2006, although we don't think that these effects may have necessarily been significant. Most importantly, though, I want to highlight the period bracketing silking, 1 week before and 1 week after silking, You can see the rainfall differences during this period between 2005 and 2006. I also would like to point out the following. When you see a graph of this form, it indicates that the two-way interaction between plant population and nitrogen rate was significant. And when this two-way interaction was significant, treatments are compared with in-plant population level, not across plant populations. So for per unit area grain yield via machine harvest, we see that the first application of nitrogen significantly improved per unit area grain yields in both years, and the second application of nitrogen had a minimal effect in both 2005 and in 2006. Most importantly, though, I want to point out that when no nitrogen was applied and plant populations were increased in both years, we see a dramatic reduction in per unit area grain yield. In both 2005 and 2006, per plant grain yields decreased with an increase in plant population. Furthermore, an application of nitrogen significantly increased grain yields on a per plant basis in both years. In 2005, only main effects were significant for per plant grain yield CV. As we increase the plant population, we see an increase in per plant grain yield CV. And as we increase the nitrogen rate, we see a reduction in grain yield CV. In 2006, the two-way interaction was significant. An application of nitrogen at the 79,000 and 104,000 plant population levels significantly reduced per plant grain yield CV. Yet most importantly, I want to point out that when no nitrogen was applied, you see an increase in per plant grain yield CV as we increase plant population. Per plant kernel number followed a trend similar to per plant grain yield. As we increase plant populations in both years, we see a reduction in per plant kernel number. And as we make a nitrogen application, we see an increase in per plant kernel number in both years, only for that 170 kilograms of N per hectare rate. For per plant kernel number variability, again, it follows a pattern similar to per plant grain yield variability. We see an increase in this kernel number variability with an increase in plant population and no real reduction in 2005 with an increase in nitrogen rate. In 2006, the two-way interaction was significant, and at both the mid and high plant population levels, we see a reduction in per plant kernel number variability with the application of nitrogen. Also, as before, when no nitrogen was applied and plant populations were increased, we see a dramatic rise in per plant kernel number CV. ASI data, or the anthesis silking interval, was only analyzed for 2006, not for 2005. So the first graph represents the mean for ASI. The second, the absolute deviation, expresses the standard deviation for ASI on a per plant basis. For both ASI mean and ASI variability, we see a reduction in the ASI mean and ASI standard deviation with the application of nitrogen at the mid and high plant populations. Also, we can see that when we apply no nitrogen and increase the plant density, we see dramatic increases in per plant ASI and per plant ASI standard deviation. In 2005 and 2006, as we increased the plant population, we saw decreases in per plant stalk diameter at the V15, R3, and R6 growth stages. In both years, when we failed to apply nitrogen, we see a lower per plant stalk diameter at the V15 and R3 growth stages, that is in 2005, and at all three growth stages in 2006. Per plant SPAD was lower in both 2005 and in 2006 at all growth stages when we increased the plant population. And when we have no nitrogen application occurring in 2005 and in 2006, we see dramatically lower per plant SPAD values at all growth stages. I would also like to point out that the rate of apparent foliar senescence was greater when we applied no nitrogen, as can be seen here from these trend lines connecting these data points. Per plant SPAD variability did not necessarily differ between the plant populations in both 2005 and in 2006 at the V15, R1, and R3 growth stages. However, we see dramatically greater per plant SPAD variability at R5 in both 2005 and in 2006 as we increase our plant populations. Nitrogen had a little bit greater effect than plant population in terms of having a greater SPAD CV throughout the growing season. And we can see here in 2005, we have differences between the treatments at R1, R3, and R5. And here we have differences having a greater per plant SPAD CV at V15, R1, R3, and R5. At R5, though, we see the greatest per plant SPAD CV when we apply no nitrogen here and here. Now, these graphs are somewhat complicated, and they're going to be used here to explain the plant hierarchy dynamics that we saw in the 2005 and 2006 growing seasons. I want to point out here that the blue bar represents the treatment when resources were most available. That is 54,000 plants per hectare, 340 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. The green bar represents the treatment where resources were least available and the most competition was observed, at 104,000 plants per hectare and when no nitrogen was applied. The three morphophysiological parameters I want to focus on here are stalk diameter, SPAD, and grain yield and its components, kernel number and per kernel weight. The y-axis represents the proportion of plants that have a value less than or equal to 66% of the mean, and that is for each one of these morphophysiological parameters. Please note also that these parameters follow a seasonal progression, V15, R3, R6, and then the same with SPAD, and then kernel number being established first in maize, and per kernel weight, and then finally grain yield. In 2005, we see greater evidence of plant hierarchies at this most limiting resource level. You can see that these bars here for stalk diameter and SPAD and for grain yield and its components are greater in 2005 when resources are limiting. And for SPAD particularly, we can see the hierarchies developing as the growing season progresses, indicating that we likely have a greater number of dominated plants when resources are more limiting. However, not all these trends were observed in 2006. We don't really see these differences occurring for stalk diameter in 06, and they really only show up for SPAD later in the growing season at R3 and R5. Nevertheless, we see a greater number of dominated plants for kernel number, kernel weight, and grain yield in both years. So here in 2005 and in 2006, when we have severe resource limitations. So what conclusions can we draw from 2 years of this study? First, intense intraspecific competition at high plant densities and low N rates results in, first, decreased per plant grain yield, a reduction in kernel number, and a reduction in late vegetative and reproductive stalk diameter and SPAT. That's all on a mean basis. We also see a reduced per unit area grain yield from machine harvest, an increase in the anthesis silking interval, and most importantly, we have increased variability for per plant grain yield, kernel number, reproductive SPAD, and the anthesis silking interval. And for our second conclusion, reduced per plant resource availability led to a greater number of dominated plants for late reproductive SPAD in both years, for kernel number and individual kernel weight, and for grain yield. So in summary, we can say that adequate N availability is essential at high plant densities for reducing the establishment and intensification of both plant-to-plant variability and plant hierarchies. With that, I'd like to make a few acknowledgments to Pioneer for the fellowship in plant sciences I received, Purdue University for their funding, also to Pioneer and Deere and Company and the Purdue Research Farm, and then the numerous people that have worked on this project because it's very labor intensive. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Yes, sir.
Back. Why do you have dominated plants? Is that because of spatial variability?
Why do we have dominated plants? Maybe more so, why do we have so many dominated plants when resources are most limiting? It's not due to, did you say spatial variability? We don't think it's due to spatial variability. We looked at some of the stats on that, and the spatial variability was similar for all treatments. We think the dominated plants developed later in the season unrelated to spatial variability, spacing within the row. And we think that's just simply a product of limited resources where a typical response, both in ecological and agronomic studies, has shown that these hierarchies set up as a result of these limited resources. And so these plants were intensely competing for sunlight and obviously mineral nitrogen. So yeah, it was unrelated to spacing, if that's what you're wondering. So, although I did not present that here, granted. Yes, sir.
Do you find any intelligent response?
Hybrid differences were not very significant in these years, and any significance in hybrids were few and far between, and so that's really why we did not focus them on in this case. And the hybrids, you know, they're both very productive hybrids in both growing seasons, and so we don't expect enormous differences between them, but there were minor discrepancies. Yes, sir.
This might seem obvious, but do you know, when you have more variability, you had variability in grain yield, you had increased variability in R5 SPAD.
Yes.
Do you know that the plants that were higher in grain yield were higher in SPAD or were lower in SPAD?
They were higher in SPAD, yeah. And I think that's related to the stay green nature of those plants that were dominating or performing well. And so, yeah, we did see some correlations. We didn't analyze them here, but in other data that I've looked at, yes, the higher grain yields can be correlated with higher SPAD.
So you have the per plant data all paired up and you look at individual plants on the per SPAD?
Yes, yep, and all correlations can be made, yep.
Is that it?
All right, thanks.